I'm John Batzel with the author Eric Berger. Reentry is the book, highly recommended, to get to you where we are right now, which is waiting for more tests of Starship and Super Heavy. However, they're testing them in a place called Boca Chica. Where is that?
It's at Boca Chica is at the southern end of Texas. If you drive down along the Texas coast, past Corpus Christi, past the ranch lands, and all the way down to the Rio Grande River, it's right at the southern tip of the Texas boot.
I love the way they build Boca Chica. You have a man who's sent out there to shift, what is it, 600 tons of dirt or something that they drop into a swamp to give it a pad? I didn't know that there was swamp underneath the launch tower. Well, there used to be. They dropped dirt in there, and it was too expensive to have a private company come and haul the dirt away, so they rented a bunch of backloaders and did it themselves. That's SpaceX for you. But then they need a facility to build starships and super heavies. So Musk says, well, this is what I want. And they put up three tents, 400 by 110, and start building. That's what's out there now. This ability to manufacture equipment overnight at the place of origin. And Musk saw this in one sweep, is the way you tell the story.
Yeah, he saw this in one sweep about 5 years ago, and they built those first giant tents, and then, you know, months and months later, they realized that the tents weren't big enough, and so they built permanent facilities and larger tents, and then they built big, massive integration towers, and so it's Starship has evolved, or Starbase, excuse me, this facility in Boca Chica, Texas, has evolved over time from very modest beginnings to almost like a certainly an ultra-modern rocket factory built up where nothing existed before.
What is Starship? What is it meant to do? How does it function?
So SpaceX has been on this progression. You've talked about how reuse has always been the way they were going to get to Mars. So they started with the Falcon 1, a simple rocket to prove they could get to orbit. Then they went to Falcon 9, which was a larger rocket, which allowed them to do NASA contracts and commercial satellite launch, and it allowed them to reuse the first stage and the payload fairing. They built Dragon for crew capability to understand human spaceflight, and then they sort of got really good at flying and reflying the Falcon 9. So Starship is kind of the ultimate end game for all of that. It's a fully reusable rocket. The first stage comes back, the second stage comes back. You can use it to fly humans into deep space. It can do all of these different tasks. And it's based on all of what they've learned over the past 20 or 25 years. Now, the problem is that it's enormously difficult to build a rocket that's much larger, much more powerful than even the Saturn V rocket that sent humans to the moon in the 1960s and early 1970s, and then make that whole thing reusable. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're doing this as a private company. You know, NASA spent 5% of the federal budget to go to the moon. SpaceX is doing the lion's share of this with private capital. So it's an enormous technological challenge. And we've seen 6 flights now with Starship. We may see a 7th flight pretty early in the new year as SpaceX continues to push out the technology and get to an end state that's, a fully reusable super heavy rocket.
And there's one detail here that is necessary because you'll see it on the video of these events. It's called the chopstick. What is that?
So one of the things they learned with the Falcon 9 rocket was that when you land on a barge or at the launch site, you still have to like save the rocket and then transport it back to the launch pad. And you have to have landing legs, which, you know, costs a pretty significant mass penalty. And so they're like, what if we just catch the rocket back at the launch tower and set it back on the launch mount? There's this chopstick thing. It looks kind of like Godzilla. And we saw it in action a couple of months ago where the rocket came back, came to a basically standstill position and these arms extended and grabbed it and literally set it back down. It was one of the most incredible things you've ever seen. But again, the whole game here is to optimize a reuse, and this was a critical step. As I say, you got rid of landing legs and you saved time in terms of preparing a rocket to fly again.
Falcon Heavy is 27 Merlins and Super Heavy is 31. I don't remember the numbers.
Well, when you add up the Super Heavy first stage and the Starship upper stage, it's more than three dozen Raptor engines.
Raptor. We're no longer dealing with Merlins.
No, these are more powerful, more complex engines, each equivalent in power about to a space shuttle main engine. If you think back to the space shuttle, it had three main engines, and now here we're talking about a rocket that has, three dozen.
So let me line all of this up, because it's not done yet. They've got other pieces they've got to put together. We have chopsticks. There'll be lots of chopsticks. Right now there's just one. And you will launch from Super Heavy, the first stage, and Starship, the second stage, into orbit. And that orbit will be part of the ferry. I imagine it's like a relay race to Mars. You launch into low Earth orbit. You fuel the starships that are to transfer equipment, tonnage to Mars. And then on Mars, they land, or you pass it to another starship and it lands.
No, the starship lands.
The starship lands, and then it's refueled with the methane that you've manufactured in the colony on Mars, and it returns. And it does this every day, I guess, because it takes 9 months to get to Mars, unless Musk comes up with a shortcut we don't know about. And then it's pretty much like Grand Central for rocket ships. The trains are leaving all the time.
I think there's typically a transfer window to Mars where you can get there in 6 to 9 months when the orbits align, about every 2 years. And so the goal here would be to, about every 18 months or 2 years, have basically a fleet of starships ready to fly to Mars. And then things will quiet down, and then you'll sort of prepare another fleet to go to Mars, and then a smaller number of spacecraft to come back. So that's the potential for this pretty incredible scene of like hundreds of ships taking off from Mars, an actual fleet of spaceships. Taking off from Mars in a relatively short period of time. If and when that happens, it will be spectacular to behold.
And the first stage is caught by a chopstick, and the starship is caught by a chopstick, and then they're reassembled and refueled, and they take off again.
That is the plan. They've got a lot of technical work to get there, but they are certainly making progress with every test flight they do.
Do they refuel in low Earth orbit?
Yes, the idea would be you've got a bunch of tanker starships that launch from Earth and refuel a vehicle in low Earth orbit that can then go to the moon or go to Mars.
Does any of this require a space station?
No.
So I've noticed that Musk is not... There's a pet peeve. You're never to mention space elevators. The space elevator is not a rocket ship. And it apparently upsets Musk when he hears people talking about space elevators. Is that what they say? Blue Origin is working on a space elevator? Is that what they say?
No one credible is working on a space elevator. I think, a space elevator, if we had it, would be amazing, because you could really get rid of rockets. The problem is that it's very difficult to conceive of something working where basically you would have an elevator that goes from the surface of the Earth all the way up to, 36,000 kilometers above the planet.
We're going to Mars. Re-entry is the book. Eric Berger is the author. SpaceX, Elon Musk, and the reusable rockets that launched a second space age. Begin second space age.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.